Welcome to Buddhist Books Podcast. For those who've been here before, welcome back. This is episode 333. Tipitaka, part 213. Cholavaga 4, part 3. Don't be overwhelmed by so many numbers. The number I would like to focus on briefly for a moment before I get started is 333. Usually when we get to like 200 or 300 or some number like that, I wax poetic about the journey thus far. And 333, it just feels like such a special number, 333. So if you'll indulge me for a moment, it was December 5th of 2021 that I first wore this robe, well, on Buddhist Books Podcast. I think once or twice I had worn it before that, but I decided to begin my ministry. Self-guided, no guru told me to do this, just the one that lives in my Sahasrara chakra. I felt called to do it. I had collected a number of statues and a lot of books on the subject of Buddhism. This tanka above my head, these kakejikus were gifted to me by a friend. Of course, the zabuton and zafu. And for what? To just arrange it in a corner? Sit there by myself? I don't know, you know? And I felt like I could create a circuit somehow that, because my reading comprehension is such that if I'm not intensely interested in what I'm reading, my eye can look at every word on a page, and then if you ask me what I just read, I will have no idea what I just read. But if I'm reading something aloud, then I hear myself read it, I'm saying it out loud, there's a lot more going on for each word of the experience, and then if I record it, and then I play it back for purpose of editing, adding music, and then if I listen to it again, then it really starts to get absorbed. So, you know, if anybody else besides me enjoys this, that's entirely a bonus. This is entirely a practice and an exercise that I've chosen to do for myself and for my own path. At first we read Dhammapada, and then in my ignorance at the time, I thought, okay, well, that's enough for the old Hinayana, or, you know, Theravada. I know those aren't necessarily the same thing, but what else is Hinayana if not that which is before Mahayana? Anyway, enough about that. So I jumped into Lotus Sutra, but Lotus Sutra was saying, forget all the teachings that I've given you before. Here's this new thing. We're going to keep it simple, you know, and add stuff. And I was like, okay. I feel like I missed a lot. I feel like that little Dhammapada book wasn't enough to really give me all of the teachings of pre-sectarian early Buddhism and Theravada that I would like to have as a foundational layer before I start building upon it, Mahayana. So I contacted the Pali Text Society in London. Thank you, Pali Text Society. I know I give you guys a hard time, and I hope that I hope you understand that there's love there somewhere underneath all the frustration with the way that you guys have decided to do things. But no. That's, I appreciate you very much. Anyway, as much as you can appreciate anything British. What are we talking about here? Yes. So their heart's in the right place, I think, mostly. So they sent me this all the way from London to India, which is where they come from. So it's kind of funny. You go to India and then you have to get the teachings of Lord Buddha from London. Then while we were waiting for that, we dove into the Jain Sutras. I don't know if you knew that we read 25 episodes of Jain Sutras in preparation to dive into the Tipitaka, of which, again, we were on episode 213. So this has been our primary focus for a while now. I don't know how many years. I think probably five-ish or four, probably close to 4 years. We began in Anjuna, Goa, then we continued in New Delhi, and then we continued in Majorda, then we continued in the vicinity of Porvorim, North Goa, and no doubt we will continue in other places. Is that foreshadowing? Take it as you will. And yeah, it's been quite a journey. And for a long time, I made Tipitaka, you know, I insisted that I was going to read nothing but these books until I finished them, before I realized how long that will take if you talk as much as I do at the camera and only read for 20 to 30 minutes per episode. And then, you know, began to, you know, bring in the clock and all on the zero, we're reading Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava. That was the first thing we started, was every 10 episodes, we would take a break from Tipitaka to read that. And then eventually we added the Shingon at the 5, and then we added the Zen Buddhism at the 8 and the 2, and then we made the 2 the Platform Sutra. I think that's how it went. And then most recently we added the Nagarjuna for the 9, which I'm really having difficulty integrating with the rest of the practice. But still, 5 out of 10 episodes is the Tipitaka, the root of the tree of this entire project, which then, after the first 2 years and some months, yeah, I guess it was about two, after 2 years of Buddhist Books Podcast, when people from U.S. were coming to visit me and were surprised that I wasn't wearing this robe when I answered the door, I thought that, plus a number of other things, plus I have another bookshelf. I don't know if you know. Let's just show the bookshelf. I think we'll be able to see that. And a number of books over there that are not related to Buddhism, although some of the books over there are related to Buddhism because they couldn't all fit here. And there's a separate Buddhist bookshelf over here, and then there was not enough room here and there for them all, so some of them are over there. And we've got the Buddhist Books B-sides for a couple of them, the 14 Dalai Lamas, and Milinda Panya is behind me. I don't know. I hope you don't mind me just ranting, reflecting, kind of doing an overview. Long story short, we began a separate sister podcast to this one called Chicken Philosophy, which was originally the place where I would finally break down and read Carl Jung's Black Books, which had been sitting in my shelf for a while at that time. And then gradually we added more and more and more to Chicken Philosophy, and then it started to, you know, kind of take over. And so now there's a strictly enforced one Buddhist Books episode for every 2 Chicken Philosophies, and every 5 episodes of Buddhist Books we do Buddhist Books B-sides, and every 5 episodes of Chicken Philosophy we do Chicken Philosophy B-sides. So there's so many branches to the tree now, and it's all very organized, and we try to stick with the organization. By we, of course, I mean me. But yeah, I mean, if you're interested in, you know, hearing me read things aloud and make rude comments, then by all means, click through and subscribe to Chicken Philosophy. There's fewer rude comments on Buddhist Books, though it's not without its rude comments. But I try to be constructive with them. I mean, if I don't just blurt things out, if I legitimately have an issue with something I'm reading. And it tends to be more personal to me, because I've always considered myself Buddhist at heart. See, my dad taught me that thing my dad taught me when I was 6, and, you know, introduced a lot of the basic ideas, and I sort of absorbed a few other layers from people that I cared about as I was growing up, and then sort of more or less considered myself an expert, foolishly, the whole Dunning-Kruger effect thing. And then eventually came to India on a Buddhist pilgrimage and ended up staying here. But I didn't want to, partly because of trauma from earlier parts of my life in cults. I didn't want to seek out a teacher or a guru or any of those things that people say you're supposed to do, a master. And any of the so-called gurus and teachers that I did talk to struck me as people who, you know, I'm sure are lovely people, but I'd rather go about it on my own, even if that takes longer, even if it doesn't get me anywhere, if there's anywhere to get, which I think is debatable. It's just the path that I've chosen to take. Not trying to be a role model, not trying to tell other people that they should take this path. Although I think that it's worth noting that this is a path that one can take. I mean, not exactly one-to-one what I've done, but a person can take up a discipline of reading ancient scriptures and reflecting on them, and slowly, patiently, but persistently work their way through the teachings and absorb them, reflect on them, mull them over, not necessarily just accept things as dogma, unless that's what you're into. But yeah, develop a personal rapport with them, a deeper understanding of them, rather than just, you know, a few memes. Anyway, so thank you for indulging me for so long while I wax nostalgic about this being the 333rd episode of Buddhist Books Podcast. And now we're going to pick up where we left off and read a bit of the Tipitaka, specifically Chulavaga 4, picking up right where we left off last time. Here we go. Now at that time, monks were striving, quarreling, disputing in the midst of an order. They were wounding one another with the weapons of the tongue. I think they mean words, right? They were unable to settle that legal question. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you monks to settle this kind of legal question by the decision of the majority. End quote. A monk possessed, is that an end quote? Okay. A monk possessed of five qualities should be agreed. That's not an end quote. What is that? It's just an apostrophe hanging there after the word majority and a footnote. The footnote says, Yabu Yasika, as long as the majority are speakers of Dhamma. Okay, right. Sure. But he's still talking, in spite of the fact that there seemed to be an end quote. I'll just keep reading. We'll just let it go. Sometimes there's typos and things. A monk possessed of five... Miss Horner, she tries. That's I.B. Horner. She was president of Polytech Society for a while, and she translated these. So far, everything we've read so far in these books has been translated by her. Okay. A monk possessed... I think she had a cousin who became a Theravadan monk. Anyway. A monk possessed of five qualities should be agreed upon as distributor of voting tickets. One who would not follow a wrong course through favoritism. Who would not follow a wrong course through hatred. Three dots. Presumably one who would not follow a wrong course through is in those three dots. Through stupidity. Three dots. Through fear. Who would know what is taken and what is not. Footnote on that, referring to the voting tickets. Okay. And thus, monks, should he be agreed upon? First, a monk should be asked. Having asked him, the order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, honored sirs, let the order listen to me. If it seems right to the order should agree upon the monk so-and-so as distributor of voting tickets. Voting is in parentheses, so distributor of tickets. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. The order is agreeing upon the monk so-and-so as distributor of tickets. Voting tickets. If the agreement upon the monk so-and-so as distributor of voting tickets is pleasing to the venerable ones, they should be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. I have a question. If someone has an issue with the distributor of voting tickets, can they just vote and the majority can agree on who distributes the voting tickets? No, probably not. Okay, keep reading. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. The monk so-and-so is agreed upon by the order as distributor of voting tickets. It is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this. End quote within quotes, but Lord Buddha is still talking, still explaining this process. Monks, there are 10 distributions of voting tickets that are not legally valid. 10 that are legally valid. What are the 10 distributions of voting tickets that are not legally valid? When the legal question is only trifling, and when it has not gone its course, and when it is not remembered or caused to be remembered, and when he knows that those who profess non-Dhamma are more in number, when he even thinks that those who profess non-Dhamma may be more in number, if he knows that the order will be divided, if he even thinks that the order may be divided, if they take the tickets not by rule, if they take them in an incomplete assembly, and if they take them not according to their views, these 10 distributions of voting tickets are not legally valid. What are the 10 distributions of voting tickets that are legally valid? When the legal question is not merely trifling, and when it has gone its course, and when it is remembered and caused to be remembered, and when he knows that those who profess Dhamma are more in number, when he even thinks that those who profess Dhamma may be more in number, when he knows that the order will not be divided, when he even thinks that the order will not be divided, when they take the tickets by rule, when they take them in a complete assembly, and when they take them according to their views, these 10 distributions of voting tickets are legally valid. End quote. I have a question. If there are 10 monks and 6 of them speak Dhamma and 4 of them speak non-Dhamma. Dharma for you Sanskrit folk. Dhamma is the Pali way. Anyway. And then they vote and the majority, 6-4, vote in favor of something, but 4 of those who vote in favor of it are the non-Dhamma speakers, and only 2 of them are the Dhamma speakers, and 4 of the Dhamma speakers voted against it. Does it pass? Just let that question hang there. Maybe they'll address that situation, maybe not. Okay. Now at that time, the monk Uvala, on being examined for offenses in the midst of the order, having denied, acknowledged, having acknowledged, denied, he shelved the question by asking another. He told a conscious lie. Those who were modest monks, 3 dots, spread it about, saying, quote, how can this monk Uvala, on being examined, 3 dots, tell a conscious lie, end quote. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, is it true, as is said, monks? 3 dots. That the monk Uvala told a conscious lie and all that other stuff is left out in favor of 3 dots, because the Polytech Society figured, meh, why write out the ancient scriptures when you can just put 3 dots? Okay. I love you, Polytech Society. Thank you for everything. You're so cool. Everybody should buy these books. Okay. Are we good? We're good? Okay. End quote. Quote, it is true, Lord. End quote. Having rebuked them, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, well then, monks, let the order carry out a formal act for the decision for specific depravity against the monk Uvala. And thus, monks, should it be carried out. First, the monk Uvala should be reproved. Having reproved him, he should be made to remember. Having made him remember, he should be made to confess the offense. Having made him confess the offense, the order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, "Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. This monk Uvala, on being examined for offenses in the midst of the order, having denied, acknowledged, three dots, he told a conscious lie. If it seems right to the order may carry out a formal act for the decision for specific depravity against the monk Uvala. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. This monk Uvala, three dots, he says it all three times, told a conscious lie. The order is carrying out a formal act for the decision for specific depravity against the monk Uvala. I think it's a good idea to repeat everything three times, especially if everything's orally, you know, done, because a lot of people are going to be like, wait, what? I caught the first part of what he said, but then I spaced out. What's happening? Who's Uvala? Oh, okay, he's saying it again. Oh, okay, I think I got two-thirds of it that time. I'll wait till the third time. Oh, now I get it. That's what's going on. Okay, I vote by remaining silent. Right? If the carrying out of a formal act for the decision for specific depravity against the monk Uvala is pleasing to the venerable ones, they should be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. And a third time, I speak forth this matter, three dots. A formal act for the decision for specific depravity is carried out by the order against the monk Uvala. It is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this. End quote within quotes. Thank you, you naughty, naughty monk Uvala. Okay. Monks, he's still talking. Monks, these five grounds for a formal act for specific depravity are legally valid. If he becomes impure, and if he is unconscientious, and if he is fault-finding, if an order, there's a footnote, oh, never mind the footnote. If an order carries out a formal act for specific depravity against him, if it is by rule and in a complete assembly. These five grounds, monks, for a formal act for specific depravity are legally valid. Monks, if a formal act for specific depravity is possessed of three qualities, it comes to be a formal act not by rule, a formal act not by discipline, and one that is hard to settle. And if it is carried out not in the presence of, so if the person being accused isn't in the courtroom, then you can't do the trial, right? Back to that. If it is carried out without interrogation, if it is carried out not with the acknowledgement, three dots, of the accused, presumably. If it is carried out not by rule, if it is carried out in an incomplete assembly, monks. If a formal act for specific depravity is possessed of these three qualities, it comes to be a formal act not by rule, a formal act not by discipline, and one that is hard to settle. Monks, if a formal act for specific depravity is possessed of three qualities, it come to be a formal act. It come, really, Miss Horner? Were you a little tired that day? Maybe take a break a little more often. Sorry, no, just a little extra tea. she's British. It's tea. Never mind. Actually, caffeine doesn't really help you think. It just prevents you from falling asleep. Okay, keep reading, Edward. Of three qualities, it comes to be a formal act by rule, and a formal act by discipline, and one that is easily settled. If it is carried out in the presence of, if it is carried out on the interrogation, if it is carried out with the acknowledgement, if it is carried out by rule, if it is carried out in a complete assembly, monks, if a formal act for specific depravity is possessed of these three qualities, it comes to be a formal act by rule, a formal act by discipline, and one that is easily settled. Monks, if a monk is possessed of three qualities, the order, if it desires, may carry out a formal act for specific depravity against him. If he is a maker of strife, if he is a maker of quarrels, if he is a maker of disputes, and if he is a maker of contention, if he is a maker of legal questions in the order. I mean, I'd say be careful with that one, because I mean, it makes sense to put that in place. If someone just likes to make problems, then okay, you're just a guy who likes to make problems. But if in the future Lord Buddha is gone from this earth, Ananda, the Venerable One, gone from this earth, 11, 10, 15, 27, you know, leaders of the Sangha later, if the leader of the Sangha is a little fishy and someone's bringing it up, who's in the wrong? The person making strife, the person making accusations and all that, you know, raising legal questions, or the leader? Well, the leader can point to this and say, well, you're the one in the wrong because you're the one saying that there's an issue. Is that the case? Is it the protesters that are, I'm not going to get political, but yeah, okay. If he is ignorant, inexperienced, full of offenses, not rid of them. If he lives in association with householders, in unbecoming association with householders, yeah, don't do that. Then obviously the monk is the one. Monks, if a monk is possessed of these three qualities, the order, if it desires, may carry out a formal act for specific depravity against him. If he's possessed of all three or just one of those? If he's a maker of, raiser of legal questions and you want to say he's a needs specific depravity and vote on it by majority, come on. I mean, just think about it, you know? But yeah, if he's doing weird things with householders, then yes. But what does it mean with a specific depravity? What's the punishment? I don't know. Maybe they'll explain, maybe they won't. A monk against whom a formal act for specific depravity has been carried out should conduct himself properly. This is the proper conduct in this case. He should not ordain. He should not give guidance. A novice should not attend him. He should not consent to the agreement to exhort nuns. Even if he is agreed upon, he should not exhort nuns. Three dots. He should not quarrel with monks. What's in those three dots, Polytech Society? Do I have to flip back to the last time that there was a similar punishment for suspension or whatever and copy-pasted? End quote. Then the order carried out a formal act for specific depravity against the monk Uvala. All right. I hope that you enjoyed this somewhat special episode. It's special to me. Every episode is special in its own way. But, you know, it was Buddhist Books 333. So there it is. Hope that you enjoyed yourself. Next time, it's going to be 334, which means we'll continue reading, perhaps about Uvala, perhaps about something else related or unrelated to what we read about today. In the Tipitaka, the rules that most people say, don't worry about the rules so much. That's for monks. And not only that, it's for ancient or Theravadan monks. You don't even need to worry about it. Your Vajrayana, your Mahayana, your Zen, whatever. Don't waste your time. Certainly don't read it for 5 full years. But yeah, I'm not one to take advice like that. I would rather only take 5 years and read and think about and absorb the rules for the monks in pre-sectarian early Buddhism. Why? Because I just want to feel closer to Lord Buddha. Perhaps it's sentimental. Not very Buddhist of me, is it? I'm going to go ahead and do the usual closing, and we'll leave it at that. To the north and to the south. To the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.